put on our PJs, build a blanket fort. Let's go inside, get cozy, comfortable. It's not a coincidence, it's a metaphor about how we come together and build our world. And when the convo ends, we break it down and begin again. Sit down, tune in, crank it. It's time to bring your own blanket. Blanket Ninjas.
Hello there, Janon here. I want to tell you guys two things real quick before the episode begins. First, this is a two-part episode. So if you're listening to the first part, know that there is more after the episode ends. And if you're listening to the second part and you have not yet listened to the first part, I highly recommend going back and listening to it. Although you don't have to. I can't tell you what to do. The second thing I want to tell you guys is that there are various ways to interact with us, one of them being becoming a patron via patreon.com/byoblanket. Again, that is patreon.com/byoblanket. Basically, you commit to giving us a certain amount of money per month, from as low as $1 up to like $40 a month, and you get different rewards for each tier that you sign up for. And I mean, they're like cool little things, like we do stickers, we're gonna do t-shirts, we'll do like little ninja gifts. Maybe we'll send you guys ninja stars at some point, because our patrons are known as Blanket Ninjas. Anyway, another cool thing about being a patron is we often ask for some content advice or submitted questions from our patrons. And on this episode, we have patron-only submitted questions. So if you want to get in on that, again, go to that website I mentioned earlier. And other than that, there are more ways to be involved in our community without necessarily having to show support via money. That would be following us on all of our social media channels, on Instagram in particular, and also reviewing us on iTunes. That's it, just putting up a review. I hope it would be a good one, though you can totally be honest. And then just telling people about us, like being like, hey, listen to this podcast, it's really good. That would help out a lot, because we do this for you, not really for us, even though it is very fun. Anyway, enjoy the episode. Thank you so much for listening. Shout, first of all, shout out to Shelby. She's one of our blanket ninjas. Those are our patrons.
Okay.
And she asked us to discuss black holes, which we did.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
So one out of five. One of our patrons, or blanket ninjas, Frank, as made famous by the gay pride episode, he wants to know what you guys think of this. Will only the richest 1% of the 1% be able to see or like travel to space in this lifetime?
Well, I would say certainly no. Many more in our lifetime is what I would predict. I actually have a standing $10 bet out with one of my good friends from college. And it's that by the year 2027, which is 10 years from when the bet was made last year.
Yeah.
Nice. We will be able to travel to space and take one full complete orbit of Earth for less than $10,000, inflation adjusted. Right. And yeah, so it's Elon, the SpaceX recently introduced their BFR. Does anyone know what BFR stands for? This is good.
Boyfriend for real.
Close.
I don't know.
It's big fucking rocket. Yes.
Oh, that's what they're calling it?
Yeah. Elon's coolest, man. That's how you know it's gonna be. So it's kind of a pie in the sky thing, like, and he says a lot of pie in the sky things, but I think this one's gonna be real because this is the guy that's already launched a whole bunch of rockets and had them land themselves without any wheels. They land on their very like on their butts. How do they do that? Everyone's seen these videos, right? So eventually they're gonna refine this technology enough theoretically to create the BFR, which is going to have enough seats, like similar to like an Airbus, like what is it, 580 or 550, whatever these giant planes are that hold like 500, 600 people. And they're going to be able to take that rocket and reuse it. The reusability is the big thing here.
Mm,
so,
yeah,
like the whole rocket. Yeah. the whole rocket lands itself and is just simply able to be theoretically refueled with liquid oxygen and go back up into space like 2 hours later.
Wow.
Right. And so they've proposed, they've kind of teased us with, SpaceX has, with mm-hmm. a video showing these commercial space flights going from, say, New York to Tokyo in 30 minutes. Right. And that he's projecting testing to start as early as 2021.
The Jetsons is going to happen. We're going to have houses on sticks up in the air.
So even if Elon is off by 20 years, like he's projecting 2027 or something around that range, 2025 for the first flights. And he's saying, hey, tickets are going to be similar to in price as a commercial airline flight. Mind blown, right? And we're going to be able to go to the moon, too. So even if he's wrong by like 20 years, we're all going to go to space.
That's so just save your money. Let me ask you this. Yeah. Let's just say that this does happen by 2020, whatever.
2027, so I can make my $10. Yeah,
so you make your $10. Yeah. And then this thing happens, and then there's like commercial, quote-unquote, flights to the moon. Would you do it?
Of course. Yeah, no question there.
I'd be kind of scared.
I'm saving right now.
I would take the maiden voyage.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
I would do it in a heartbeat. I'm just like,
guys, if it happens when I'm like, if the maiden voyage happens when I'm an elderly lady, I'll do it because I've lived a full life. But if it's like 3 years from now, I'm gonna wait till it's safe and then I'll go.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to die young.
Well, maiden voyage is gonna be super pricey anyway. I'm gonna wait till.
Oh, yes. Well, it's okay. We'll be millionaires.
That's right.
Create that future.
And have y'all heard about the space elevator? They're talking about that too. So they're supposed to be building an elevator. I mean, it's
what?
You know, from the Earth to the Moon. So that's what's going to make
the elevator to heaven.
Yeah,
wow.
That's what's going to make the moon tourism very easy.
Like going up to the.
I'm a space elevator naysayer. Not to
wait. Oh, really? It's going to on your wait, show. But. Hold up, an elevator is going to connect the Earth to the Moon. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Imagine the altitude.
Earth
sickness.
To the Moon.
I think.
How can it do that with
wait,
the
is
orbit?
It to the moon or just to the
well,
if it's to the
orbit.
Moon,
it's
going to snap.
It's a geostationary orbit, and then they're talking about having like a carbon fiber thread or like a nano carbon fiber thread that goes 200,000 miles all the way down to the Earth. But it's been pretty much physically, like, ruled out as
impossible.
Possible. Not impossible,
gotcha.
But, like, really,
that
like, doesn't make sense. But for a while, it was, like, the hype. Like, you'd have this floating kind of spaceport, and it would, this geostationary satellite would have, like, a, and it has, like, a big tether to another,
uh-huh.
like, another, like, 100,000 miles beyond it. It has a big, like, counterbalancing weight, so it attaches to, like, a meteor, and then it's, like, the main bulky space elevator, like, machine, and then there's this, all space elevator is a string that goes into space, because then you attach your thing, like, maybe you can put, let's say you can put a human on there, you can put 200 pounds, so you attach a string with a rocket, and, like, you attach to this string with a rocket and you just rocket up this string. So it's much, since you have something to hold on to, it's like pulling yourself up a rope as opposed to.
And just one person at a time?
Yeah, I don't know. Don't quote me here. I think they're actually kind of like, they're going up, they were like the hype. So I think you.
I'm going to look
into
that.
Yeah, it doesn't sound very cool anymore.
Yeah, it's not cool. It's not the cool hype anymore.
I mean,
sorry.
It's interesting. Like, it's just like really, really, really interesting.
People actually put some thought into this.
Yeah.
Okay, from Kelly. Are there any industries that will remain unaffected by AI?
I mean,
y'all just looked at each other like,
who
what
wants
do you
to
think?
Answer
what do you think, bro?
I think that all industries will be affected by AI at some point. I think what she's trying to get at is like, is it going to replace humans? Or, you know, that's the next level. Is it going to replace humans altogether? And we were talking earlier about balance, and I think the universe kind of gears towards balance. So I personally feel like there has to be a balance between human connection and artificial intelligence.
Yeah. Like I was saying before we started recording, they just recently did a study where premature babies were taken care of by robots.
Mm-hmm.
And then I don't know which mom was like, yeah, let my baby be taken care of by a robot. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever. And then other babies were taken care of by doctors, and the ones taken care of by doctors, even though they were handled the same way, like giving the same sort of like quote unquote care and instructions, the ones taken care of by the doctors thrived by far. I mean,
yeah, there's always that kind of like
experiment is that.
There's other things like you gotta like think also, you know, if you if you went back 1,000 years or a long time ago and you told people, hey, like, in the future, it's going to be safe to, you know, cut you open and put you to sleep and replace your heart with someone else's heart, like, you would be like, and hey, can we try this on you? Like,
sure, you know, like, yeah.
Some people would be like, okay, and others would be like, fuck
it's like,
no.
I think that there's concepts out there that we can't really understand as we're, I think we like to think of ourselves as like so advanced technologically, like we've accomplished all these things,
yeah.
But really we're still back in drawing the drawings on the cave wall. Like that's
yeah.
where
mm-hmm.
we really are.
Yeah.
We don't see, we can't understand what the future of technology is going to
yeah.
bring. I would say that there's no industry that won't be affected, but in the short term, AI is different from I. Like, from, there's this, what we have now, Siri and stuff, is AI. It's artificial. It's not really intelligent
yeah.
or conscious. But if that consciousness, that consciousness passage does happen where we do pass our, like, we almost impregnate our conscious into our creations, then it's going to be a whole new world. And that level of, oh, I'm sorry, yeah.
No,
no,
Maria,
no, go
yeah.
ahead. She knows what I was going
to
say.
Maria was about to burst into song, and I was just, she's about to sing A Whole New World. So I was like, no.
She knew what I was going
to
do.
That level of consciousness is almost uncomprehensible to us. It's like been described as an ant trying to understand our intelligence.
Yep. Well, yeah, I mean, like we said at the very beginning, the human ego thinks it's like, ooh, we're so important. Oh, humans, like, we got it going on.
Yeah, we're just
we know
one
everything.
Container of consciousness, and there's
yeah.
going to be many more.
Yeah, there's something to be said of, like, staying humble through all this, you know.
Absolutely.
Okay.
It's quantum entanglement! Just kidding, that's not at all what it is. Don't. That's
and you know,
cool.
it could be possible, like, you know, dinosaurs were made extinct. You know, one day humans probably go extinct and our
possible.
Creation lives on. Because it
yeah.
can,
or we've
it
evolved,
can,
or
we've evolved
something
into something
like
different.
You know,
yeah.
or we're gonna self-evolve. Actually, evolution is has run its course, and we are now gonna create our own genetic future. Like we're already doing it,
yeah.
and it's like right on the cusp. Like, have y'all heard of the CRISPR gene editing technology?
Yes, but
yeah.
say what it is
CRISPR
exactly.
CRISPR is this really insane. Like so,
and it's. It's CRISPR.
That's right.
Right?
I don't know what it stands for. It's like you used to kind of, people, geneticists could play with chromosomes and genes, like take some chromosomes from one animal and like insert them into another animal and then, or plant, and you get this, I don't know, corn that's resistant
hybrid
to,
thing.
To like pests or to like whatever is going to eat it. But now scientists can, it's like we have a computer program. Which is this gene, this crazy thing, CRISPR, which I want to say is it goes in and it cuts the DNA and then it replaces the DNA with whatever they want. And it does this, it can read, it can do it in an insanely fast process.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just, it's very reliable. So now we can edit our genome to a high degree of accuracy, and eventually once we figure it out, change almost any quality about
wow.
say like an embryo's quality. So yeah, like it's coming and it's real,
like
basically.
Eliminate
I don't,
some
yeah.
What's it called, autoimmune or genetic diseases altogether.
That'll be the first things theoretically. So the first thing
yeah.
that people start accepting, right, think about what's going to be accepted first. So like
yeah.
oh yeah, well let's eliminate cancer, let's look at, you know, let's can actually go, theoretically, you can go into, some of it can be used on already mature adults, like,
right.
and eliminate certain, like, diseases or whatever, but.
You could eliminate their maturity,
right.
and then
but
they
just,
become immature.
Yeah, for sure. Just talking about embryos, though, like, the first thing that'll be acceptable will be diseases, anything
yeah.
like that, but, like, moving forward, what's going to come, you know, be like, oh, well, I'll go ahead and change the eye color, and then, like, oh, let's go ahead and make this baby super muscular, super thin, or have a nice...
going to be a genius.
Whatever, you know, set of abs. Or
well, what about, okay, so going back to the experiment that Janon brought up, which was the babies being taken care of by human doctors versus machines, do you think that would actually influence in this experiment, meaning this machine-made... or manipulated DNA strands will not actually survive because there's not that human, whatever it is that it's adding, consciousness or
Yeah. Unknown what thing. If there's this like ingredient that of like consciousness?
Or we clip the wrong part of the DNA or something? Yeah.
I think this just goes back to what we were saying. It's like we have to approach these things with great humility. You know, I've been watching Jurassic Park recently. Like, I just saw the new one.
Oh.
And then I saw that the original one came on Netflix. I was like, oh, let me see this. I haven't seen it in a while. And it's really mind blowing because there's these scenes where they're just sitting down and having a conversation about the ethics of playing God, you know,
yep.
And it essentially leads to the downfall of the park, you know?
Yeah.
And,
got carried away.
Right. And the owner, you know, the one who funded the whole, organization, he came to the realization that he was wrong and that the scientist that he invited was correct.
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, I think...
thank you, 90s.
Go ahead.
Yeah. I think there's really... We can't really know the answer, like, if we're creating some kind of freak mistake. But I would say that starting with editing genes to remove diseases, we have to try.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's almost going to become unethical, if that is a possibility,
yeah.
to not do it.
Yeah.
To, like, let your baby be born without doing this CRISPR editing in the future, like, might become unethical. Like, oh, you could have... Just like people who don't let their kids get vaccines. I don't know if this is a hot topic, but yeah. Right.
Well, yeah, that's another episode.
I'm sorry for anyone out there. But
it's okay.
Right. But kind of widely acceptable medical practices that it might become like that.
Yeah.
So
one last question about this. Can I ask it?
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So on that subject, what you brought up, Chris, which is the whole idea of playing God, there's another theory out there. Or interpretation as to why we haven't found life in other universe or in other planets in the universe, right? It's because at a certain point, when we reach a certain intelligence level, there's this force that eliminates it. What
yeah,
do you guys think
the
about
great
that?
Filter.
Say
the
that
great
again.
Filter, yeah.
Well, once
what
we
filter?
Reach a certain level of intelligence, what happens?
There's this, like, force, this, like, barrier that basically ends that civilization. Or
you mean,
like
meteors?
No,
or, like,
it's referred to as the great filter. Mm-hmm. Or, like, civilizations start developing, and over time, like, they all end up, all civilizations end up nuking themselves.
Oh.
Like, that's a very real possibility. We have
yeah.
the potential to destroy life.
We already do, yeah. Do you think
yeah.
that's some sort of form of, I don't know, another dimension, this higher being,
that's like keeping...
force that's saying, nah, man, you're getting
that...
way too into manipulating
right.
my realm, so you're done.
And you know what? That just goes back to the story of Genesis. The original story of Genesis mm-hmm. is that story. That's one of the oldest stories ever written, and that's what it's about. How these higher beings... created our ancient ancestors got too cocky, they got too proud, they were rising up, they were about to rebel, and then they said, let's flood the earth.
Mm.
You're referring to the Sumerian text.
Yes,
yeah.
The Sumerian. I mean, it's in the Bible too,
which is
both
the
they're very
which in
similar.
Your
Does
Catholic
Abraham
Bible happen? It says it was written based on
the Sumerian text.
Yeah,
yeah.
So
approved,
a mind blown
the,
from
approved
a,
by the Vatican.
Mind blown.
Yeah, they're like, hey, not gonna lie, like, we sourced this from somewhere else.
Yeah.
But, you know. Oh, I want to go into Rachel's question, because it's
yeah.
very related to what we just were talking about. Rachel's asking, in a future state where tech has eliminated the need for many manual jobs, what could or should the future of work look like in society?
This is great. This is great, yeah. Well, the thing is, like, this is like a faith journey. And I think going back to, like, the verbiage I used to earlier, like, when we're – it's not just tech that we're creating. Like, we're potentially creating, like, another life form or form of ourselves. Like, I know that sounds, like, way out there, but I really think that's what's
yeah.
going on. Like, so, like, there's – I think just like you would train a child to love you and like, when you're old, the child was going to be caring
like,
for you,
yeah.
right? I think that's almost the way it's going to be, like – when we're programming and coding these AI that become AI, or that we make ourselves into like cyborg humans with this technology implanted in us, which is actually a very, like, if you look at all the episodes of Black Mirror where they have those little things on their, like, on their temporal lobe, and right, that we're actually going to want to be really bringing in poets and philosophers and spiritual leaders into this conversation, or just whoever can teach these qualities of like, hey, love us and take care of us. Mm. Like, technology, your primary role as this new higher being is to give us that, almost create, I think it's almost going to create like heaven on earth. Like,
wow.
Right. If you have unlimited resources and like this unlimited intelligence that can organize those resources for us and that loves us.
Yeah.
Is not
that's
competing
the key.
With us.
You really got to watch Battlestar Galactica, dude.
I know.
You're going to
really
love it. Because, like, it's like what you're saying, except because
seasons?
If six, four or six, I no, four.
It's enough.
Oh, no.
But they're long episodes.
Oh,
you will
okay.
spend a while with it.
Write it down,
Joe, it's like, I mean, I'm not going to spoil a lot of it for you.
Yeah.
But
no,
I mean,
not.
Because it wouldn't be a show without conflict, so you know that there's conflict. But basically, the Cylons, which are the race of intelligence
yes,
that the
yes,
humans
yes.
create, they just are like, whatever, just do everything for us, please. And then at some point, the Cylons are like, screw this, we're leaving. And they just leave. And then the whole show is about how when they
cosmic
come back.
Abandonment.
Yeah, yeah.
This, I mean, what
you
we're talking about, all the things that we're talking about in this episode are brought up, well, I mean, not everything, but they're brought up in Battlestar Galactica. Great
oh,
show.
Gotta watch this.
Questionable thing. Ending. I hated it. Some people love it, but you guys, I really want to know what y'all think
okay.
when you get to
yeah,
the ending.
Yeah, so watch it.
All
and
six,
then,
six seasons.
However many it is.
Yeah.
It's, yeah,
I think it's only four, actually.
I feel like, yeah, maybe. I don't remember. I just remember that we decided to watch it just randomly because you had watched it.
You'll
when
get
you were
addicted.
Younger.
You'll be like, oh, another one.
Yeah.
And
oh,
the
good.
First two episodes, because it's the intro to
it's
the
on
show.
Netflix, or?
Hulu.
Okay.
So the first two episodes are the intro to the show, and
they're longer than movies.
They're movies.
They're movie length.
They're movie length episodes.
Oh.
Yeah,
wow.
The first, just the first two.
Yeah.
And then after that, they're 45 minutes
okay.
each. So, I mean, you'll get very invested.
Yeah.
Easily. Last question from Brett, one of our other blanket ninjas.
Third
last question?
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, because I heard y'all say,
oh.
What is the last question?
Oops.
Oh, okay.
Well, this is for Sherzy's
the
last question.
Question.
Yeah. He wants to know, how do you correlate future to presence? And we did touch on this earlier with the whole idea of time. So what do you guys have to say? How do you correlate future to your present moment?
Well, in some perspective, the future already exists and is the present. Yeah. So if you're observing from that, so we exist in three dimensions, and our degree of freedom is the fourth dimension, which is time. That's what we experience. Like,
yeah.
As like, well, it's almost our free, or it's almost our degree of captivity. Like, we're trapped in that time. But so if you're observing it from that perspective, it's all one thing. It all exists already.
Yeah.
Kind of see it like what we were talking about earlier, using the analogy of gravity. It's like where these gravity centers, and the future is literally everywhere around you. It's in every direction. And then when you focus in, you choose one, you can pull it to your, you kind of pull it to yourself.
Yeah. That's so
right?
cool.
That's cool, yeah.
I see, I view it as I, as a being of consciousness, like I've got almost like this cool magic power. You were at the very beginning of the episode, we talked about the whole, like, photons will act differently depending on whether you're, like, watching or not. And then so it like, matters when something has its attention somewhere else. So, like, I view it as when I put my attention on, like, a part, like, an imagined future, right? Because there's really anything's possible according to my perspective. Like,
yeah.
I don't know what's going to happen. So if anything's possible, or if there's, like, for example, infinite parallel universes where each universe is, like, when a different thing happens, you know,
sure.
If anything's possible, when I put my awareness or my concentration of my consciousness onto that particular like picture of the future, I'm like way more likely to actually draw that toward me. Right. And like, then have it become my present moment.
Yeah.
Like, and that, and we, in our style of yoga call it, like, living into the created future. Mm. So there's
the law of attraction.
Law of attraction, yeah. And when I first heard that a few years ago, I was like, hippie bullshit. Whatever. And then as I've, like, done the work of the style of yoga and really started, like, write stuff down that I wanted to see, and then when I would write it down, I always write my goals as if they've already happened.
Right.
Like, I don't say, I will...
And we did it on our third episode with your sisters.
Yeah, we did a goal setting episode and on the episode 3, but I don't write, I will go jogging twice a week. I say, next week, I am, I am jogging twice a week.
Yeah, I
and
do that too.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah, it actually does create it. And because here's the thing also about, like, you know, humans, we're flawed. So even if I set my attention on this, like, future, I'm going to get distracted and think of other things. Maybe not even want that anymore, or just, like, not, basically not put my drishti on it.
Right.
But the more I put my drishti on it, like, I can get manic with it and, like, force it to happen. But also I can put my drishti on it and then, like, trust. Right, like in partnership with all the other particles that are observing me, and I'm observing them back, that, like, we're actually, like, it's all about love, and we're working together, and that fifth dimensional being is my bro, fingers crossed.
Right.
And then there's, like, this whole flow of time, space, the universe that feels very, like, very satisfying to my consciousness versus when I feel very, like, whatever, I'm just like a piece of meat on this earth, and I'm just cause and effect. Yeah, it, like, brings this, like, depth of sadness. It's the kind of despair that, like, in my darker times, I'm like, dang, I could commit suicide because of this. Because, like, that's dark to not even feel like there is, like, there's no reason to any of this.
Right.
You know? So there, anyway, that got dark, but yeah, the flow of everything happens from, like, me putting my attention on the things that, like, I want to believe, and then creating my beliefs as true. Like, that's the cool paradox of belief. You know, when we're talking about, like, paradoxes, like what I believe is I don't know if I can even describe that in, like, physical terms, because, like, my thoughts are synapses, right? My neurons.
Sure.
My emotions are hormones and chemicals. My sensations are just a combination of all that. But, like, my beliefs, where does that come from?
Consciousness.
Wow.
Yeah. It's like, maybe we have similar types of, like, pure truth in us as, say, like a monarch butterfly.
Mm.
Monarch butterfly, if you don't know, they actually migrate across multiple generations.
Yep.
So the first monarch butterfly might fly from Mexico. I don't actually know how far they go, but let's say halfway across the States or all the way to Canada. And the next one knows to go back, like, continue the migration. But his whole life is going only one direction.
Right. And, like,
reincarnation.
How does it know it?
Elephants also do great migrations where it's like, how do they know where to go every time? You know? Because, like...
What are they following, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, Chris, you just brought up something.
Yeah. Hand worms.
Yeah, well, yeah. And, like, I was thinking about this, too, when I was researching it, is the whole idea or concept of reincarnation. Right? We talk about, like, oh, you know, I've had, I don't know, multiple lives, or maybe I'm a really young soul. I don't know, right? In based on these physical, you know, just, like, explanations and theories, you could essentially argue that you've had an infinite amount of lives. You're just experiencing one at one point in time. And because maybe, I don't know, quantum entanglement, you get these sort of, I don't know, like deja vu type things.
Yeah.
And, you know, that.
Yeah, because time has collapsed,
exactly.
Like, then if we're not looking at time as, like, linear, but, like,
one thing, right.
Then quantum entanglement would mean, like, that's how they would communicate back and forth in time, as you're saying, with the double slit. And, like, if my particles of my soul are quantumly entangled with whatever other, like, part of
being
other souls and being, and, like, that, oh, that's really,
that's really great. I never heard it that way, and I think that was really great.
It was well said.
That's, I mean, that's what I was thinking about today when I was thinking about this. And have we defined or talked about quantum entanglement?
Semi. So yeah.
Do you want to, like, officially maybe?
Just, at the very end. The last thing of the episode is to define the first thing from the beginning of the episode. We did go over it a little bit.
We didn't clearly define it, and I just want to make sure that people understand it.
It's a cool thing. It's basically like particles all have partners, like that twins. Are twins, basically, though they have – they're the counterparts. So, like, when I know particle A is plus one, then – like, as soon as I understand that measurement of it, then I know that the one that it's entangled with is negative one. But if when I observe it, like, you know, when I'm just getting to know these particles for the first time, if I observe one as negative one, then I automatically know the other one as positive one. And so that information is instantaneously transferred to the other one, because before I observe either of them, they are both, at the same time, plus one and negative one. So Schrodinger's cat is, like, a good example of quantum entanglement. I actually taught a yoga class about Schrodinger's cat.
Wow.
It was fantastic. I can't wait to teach it again. But yes. I explained it to everyone, like, you know, before we started to flow. And, like, most people were like, that's so cool. And some were like, what the fuck is she on? But Schrodinger's cat is a thought experiment. No cats actually died, by the way, listeners. The cat is, like, in a drawer, basically, so no one can see him. And he's in a drawer with a bottle of poison. And the glass of this poison will only break if a – oh, my God, I can't remember what it is. But, like, there's a nuclear particle that will – or nuclear thing that emits – things at random, like completely at random. And so when the cat is shut away, when the particle is emitted, then the glass breaks, the poison spills out, and the cat dies. That's how, like, the thing would happen. But since the particle emission is completely random, with the drawer closed and no one observing or measuring the cat or, like, trying to figure out whether the particle has emitted or not, the cat is both dead and alive at the same time. It just exists like that because there's, like, no way of knowing which one it is. And right when you open the drawer to go look at the cat, the quote-unquote, like, universe, I don't know, something will decide, oh, the particle was actually out and killed the cat, or, nah, it didn't come out yet, the cat's alive.
You collapse reality.
Yeah.
The wave function of reality is collapsed into
a particle.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so would you say that's how quantum entanglement?
Quantum entanglement is, I think, Schrodinger's cat. Yeah. Quantum entanglement is definitely when the two particles are acting in, like, unison at a distance.
Yes.
And this, I know we've observed it up to, like, 100 miles with physics experiments, like sending two particles 100 miles away from each other and having them still, if one of them has observed the other one's doing, like you said, the exact opposite thing. I think there's different ways they can be entangled.
But. Well, like, if they have, like, two properties to them, it ends up being, instead of it being, like, you know, four possibilities of observing these two things, like, in the different patterns they can be, like, plus one, minus one, minus one, or plus one, minus one, plus one. That's 25%, 25%, 25%, 25%. But quantum entanglement means that there is a probability versus an equal distribution of how it could happen. And I don't know how to explain it past that without, like, making this episode, like, crazy long. But it collapses, reality into, like, a probability where the particles themselves are, like, deciding amongst each other, like, how they're going to act when they're observed.
Mm.
And so even though they seem as separate particles to our eyes, they're, like, quantumly entangled. What I don't understand, though, is, like, how do we know which particles are quantumly entangled?
I think there's devices that like certain little filters that you can shoot a photon through and it splits it into two quantumly entangled photons, which is how they did the double slit.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, now I get
it. So you can manipulate that. and without a science experiment, I don't know that we know. I don't know that we can
tell. I think
tell.
The best way that I can describe my knowledge of it would be like if you have two, if you take a piece of paper and you draw two points on that piece of paper, and then you fold that piece of paper, you can make those two points touch each other. Let's say there's like a little ant on one side, and then the ant, and you like an ant wants to go to the other side, the other dot for some reason, and he's like, how do I get there? I have to walk all the way across the paper, but then you come in and you fold it. It's like, how did I get here? I got to the other dot, like I'm here. So then think about it, that's 2D being folded into 3D.
Yeah.
Right? So if you start thinking about our world as three dimensions, then if you could somehow fold along the fourth dimension, mm-hmm. that's what quantum entanglement is.
Yeah.
So those two particles are, they're communicating faster than the speed of light. So it's almost like we know they're, somehow they're in the same place.
Oh my gosh. This just caused me to remember. Thank you for saying that, Joe. I did look this up and I was really sleepy when I was looking it up, so I forgot it. But like, okay, so how you said the paper is like folded
mm-hmm.
like that, in that if you could imagine our world is like invisibly folded and that's how we experience like
entanglement. Almost certainly folded, right?
House. Yeah. Well, the vacuum, quote unquote, of space, like what is in between atoms? What is in between dark matter? What is in between neutrinos? Like that's something that we've been like, what? Like what is the fabric that we exist upon? It, the quantum field theory proposes that every particle is actually part of a field and that there are infinite fields that are all crunched up. And so there's infinite pieces of paper all folded up
mm-hmm.
with one another, creating like infinite possibilities of quantum entanglement.
Mm-hmm.
And that when you're looking at the vacuum of space, like on one surface, it just looks like empty, nothing's there, it's pretty chill or whatever. But when you look on the quantum level, it's banana, it's like
right,
static.
Yeah.
It's just like, wah,
yeah.
And like from all of that, there's just like basically almost a vibration happening. So total vibration creates life, man.
Good vibes.
The vibration
yeah.
that happens from the field, because a field is like an interconnected set of things, right? A field, I mean, you can, I literally say the word field and you don't imagine a point, you imagine like a blanket almost. So the there's a field that is bubbling and staticky and hi, I'm being Instagrammed right now. And
yes.
And from that like bubbly and staticky field, like there's like certain, there's an energy that's like moving with it that's like super duper tiny, but particles are like actually get created out of it.
Yeah.
They like pop up out of it and stuff. And it's so sparse, like on a large level, but
well, it goes
overall.
Back to like the highest, the smallest thing. If we have this, like we have like a neutrino is a very, very, very small. So me might think of like, oh, before a neutrino, you have like a electron, and
mm-hmm.
there's quarks, which are the things that are inside of the center of an atom.
Yep.
Photons and neutrons, and then it has like photons. Anyway, it has quarks.
Protons.
Inside. So there's atoms, and then there's protons and neutrons, and then there's very small quarks, and then there's neutrinos, which is even smaller than quarks, and then there's the Planck, which is the smallest measurement that
mm-hmm.
we have. And then below the Planck is what you're describing,
yeah.
which is the quantum foam.
Yeah, the field
yeah.
theory.
And
that's how energy ends up, because, you know, energy is neither created nor destroyed. And so that is, like, that theory then explains why, like, particles can then transfer their energy to other, like, states, like how electromagnetic energy can transfer to the heat or transfer to gravity. It finally, those four disparate what are they called? Energies, right? There's the electromagnetic one. There's the weak nuclear force, the strong nuclear force. And then I think the fourth one's gravity. Don't quote me on that, though. Those four things, we haven't been able to, like, bring them together in
mm-hmm.
one thing yet. And the quantum field theory finally does. It's like, oh, this is how energy is transferred between these four things, because there's just this sea of fields
of
that are all...
Probabilities,
yeah. of probabilities that are all collapsed
or
in
data
on one
or information.
Yeah.
Going back to that same thing. I mean, we're in the simulation, guys.
So
goes back to...
So once... Do you guys think that once... And maybe this will happen, right? Where humans discover how to manipulate this properly?
Ugh.
Do you... I know,
this
it's crazy.
Daunting.
Do you think that at the end of that is time travel?
I think, well, humans. Is it, well, maybe I'll... Yeah, I don't know.
I think Joe thinks it's going to be our robot children.
Right, that's what I was going to go back and say more stuff that I've already said, you know. But yeah, I think our robot children are going to...
It seems like time traveling, you would have to basically find a way to operate in a fourth dimensional space. So right. It's like, oh, I'm going to... Because you'll see time as we would see distance, you know, here to there. So you could just, like, you go to this fourth dimensional space and you say, okay, I'm going to go to this time.
Right. That's how Interstellar has that.
Yeah.
You know, listeners, I am not a stoner, and yet here's, like, the most stonery thought that I've had. It's, do you know, whenever you remember something, you're time traveling.
Yeah. You know, I had an idea once. It's like, I'm going to write a book called Practical Time Traveling for Everyday Life.
Ooh.
And it has to do with that, kind of. It's like knowing how your thought process, in a way, is like time traveling and how you can improve your life in that way.
Ooh. Well,
what else?
I would read that.
One perspective on that, which I don't know, it's not very on topic, but is like, it's almost like we measure our lives in the wrong way sometimes, where we're like, oh, what am I going to create, or how am I living in the present moment? We forget to like realize that in the present moment, what you're also doing is you're creating the only thing that you're going to have in the future, which is memories. Like you're going to have outcomes and results and physical, tangible things too, but like time goes and it's gone in our world.
Yeah.
And we're always these creators of memories. Mm. Yeah, so it's like, what, then it reframes your choices in life. So like, instead of like working on this goal for this future manifestation, like, what am I doing right now so that I will, like, think of how many days go by where you are doing that kind of grinding, like you're namaslaying all day. Yeah, namaslay and pray or whatever. And then you like think about, oh man, like what did I do in the last 3 months? Like there was where you think about, what was I doing, you know, a year ago today? You don't even have any clue. But on those things where you've created indelible memories, like you traveled to India or you like did the thing that you gambled it all in Vegas, whatever the heck you wanted to do. Like you've created this wild and beautiful memory for yourself to have.
I love that. To bring what Chris was mentioning a few times, like there's a balance to it too, you know? Because like if I lived every present moment to the fullest, like that's cool, and like maybe I'd die, or maybe that I would like get so broke that then my subsequent present moments are fucking miserable.
Sure.
You know?
Oh, yeah. Don't go to Vegas and gamble at all.
Because like, and that's really what yoga has taught me.
I can talk about that.
Before I did yoga, I was very free spirited. I lived just like that. I was like, I'm gonna live in the moment. I'm gonna make everything memorable. Like, why would I grind away at a 9-to-5? Why would I, you know, do all the things that I'm supposed to do when that's like boring? I'll never remember it. And because I lived so far to that extreme, I ended up like having a lot of points of misery, like a lot of points of misery, because it's just so wild.
Ditto.
Right?
Ditto.
And so when I finally started like practicing yoga, like getting things a little bit more in order, like just organizing, having some, you know, quote unquote boring memories, it even like I brought myself to the middle where I could just really like enjoy things at a mid state, have some spikes of highs, some spikes of lows, but not like a constant just like back and forth and back and forth of like woohoo, oh no, woohoo, oh no.
Yeah, well, let me maybe like phrase it like, so another way you can like is you're also creating, like you're also essentially, you are not only time traveling, but you're creating for yourself how fast time travels.
Yeah.
Like if you think about, for me, like this experience, hanging out with people that are of like mind and like friends, and like I feel happy, you know, this time travels with like rich value. Mm. It almost travels a little bit slower than if I was at home. Like, what else might I might be like
binging on
Netflix.
Yep.
right? Unless it's a really good show. Or let's choose something much because Netflix can have some really quality programming. What if you're like binging on Google News, something like really crap?
Or you're looking through like the comments section of like a really shitty Reddit post.
Yeah, and you get stuck in that kind of world for the same amount of time that we've been here. Which one are you gonna like? You're gonna this time, which went by like valued, treasured time, right? But that time just goes by much faster and much valueless. So.
Yeah, mindfulness really. At the end of the day,
right. Like, but it's almost like your mindfulness and you're like working within this fabric of time. Like you're changing it for your perception of it, because perceptions of in that 4D world is like the everything's perception. Like which thing happened first? How did the things happen? How long was this thing happening?
Shift your perspective. That could be our hashtag. Hashtag shift your perspective.
Change yes.
Well, guys, we, believe it or not, have been talking for almost 2 hours. We were going for 1 hour, and that's fine.
Beautiful.
We've gone over two, but we had a lot of people on the show. Gotcha. So we did get through all of our listener questions. Yay!
Yay.
And what... basically, this is the end of the show. We'd like you guys, if y'all have any last words for the episode, you can say them. If you don't, you don't. You can just sit there stoically. Yeah, what do y'all have, if anything?
Kind of going off of what Janan was saying earlier, I was in a similar state at one point, and I came to realize that there's a time for doing. Or, I'm sorry, there's a time for being, but then there's also a time for doing.
Mm-hmm.
So to find that balance is... it makes life good.
Yes.
I like that.
Yeah, I think that what really captivates me in all these things is how much we don't know. I know I can't describe a lot of these physical concepts like very down to the details, but I know like I get really hooked on, it's almost like drug-like, to find these crazy, mind-blowing things that we don't know. And so based on that, like just relish your, almost relish that ignorance, like be the caveman, like be that caveman that does, looks up at the stars and is like, what the fuck is going on? I'm going to draw some crazy things on this cave wall for someone to find in the future, right? Instead of being like, I know what's going on, so I'm going to go be productive, or I'm going to go create these goals. Not only you should be doing those things, like take balance, right? But also be like in that realm of mystery. Just the, and I guess that's what I seek to, you know, like invoke for myself, like so living in a blissful form of ignorance, you might say.
Cool,
I love it. In an educated ignorance.
Educated ignorance, I like it. Yeah.
What say you, Maria?
Let's see. There's just so much. I want to encourage your listeners to look some of this stuff up and like actually think about it, you know, and talk to people about it, because a lot of the concepts, like I said before, right, all of these philosophers and all of the concepts that we speak and teach in yoga are just now being able to, like, you know, scientifically proved, or start to scientifically prove. And the more philosophy and science that we know, I think back to what Chris was saying, that balance is so important, and it's so enriching, and it will literally change your outlook on life and the purpose of life and just everything about life.
Yeah. Hear, hear. The thing that I would like to end the episode with is I want to read this page from the Tao Te Ching, because it's so, like, hits the nail on the head. So, by the way, the Tao, for those that don't know, is the term, like, it is loosely translated to the way. It's, like, a really intense word that you can translate it as the universe, as the way flow. Of the universe, the flow. Like,
yeah.
So it's very much, like... It would be like the why, or even the big how of how things work that we can't possibly know. So anyway, that's the background. And here is the passage. This is page or chapter 21. The master keeps her mind always at one with the Tao. that is what gives her her radiance. The Tao is ungraspable. How can her mind be at one with it? Because she doesn't cling to ideas. The Tao is dark and unfathomable. How can it make her radiant? Because she lets it. Since before time and space were, the Tao is. It is beyond is and is not. How do I know this is true? I look inside myself and see.
Yes, that's so good.
Yeah.
I love the Tao Te Ching. And that's what I would say. Go pick up the Tao Te Ching, listeners. It's phantasmic. There you go.
Highly recommend that.
It's only like maybe $10, so
yeah.
Good $10.
It's really short too.
Yeah, and that's one of, because we have a couple of translations.
Mm-hmm.
That to me is the easiest one to like
digest.
Meditate upon and digest and
yeah.
Just like read it and yeah.
Anyway, all right, well, this brings us to the end of the podcast. You guys have been a fucking delight.
Yes.
This
yeah.
was really fun.
I
had a good time.
I loved our
Thank
other
you.
Episodes,
I
and
love this.
I particularly love this one. And I would venture to say that after some time and space has passed, we should have
yeah.
you guys back on.
Well, let's do it.
Yeah.
Once
Yay.
You guys are ready to publish your books, maybe.
All right. That's
yeah.
right. That's right.
And thank you, Joe, for inviting me.
For sure.
Yeah.
I didn't know you're into this stuff. So
I know.
I'm very like
yeah.
You like you're a very nice guy. I know you from the yoga studio. You show up with a big smile. You do your yoga. I'm like Chris is cool. But I didn't know Chris was that cool.
So a thank you back to Janana Maria for collapsing my reality. into
yeah.
this moment right here.
Oh yeah.
So, and you
yeah,
and like the study that I put in a little bit of study, you know, like a refresh.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it was like a good experience to have like a thing to work on, like
yeah.
you know,
yeah.
Same.
Productivity.
Yeah,
so
I yeah.
The research shows that almost more than education or like the people who acquire knowledge are almost more likely to live longer than people who have money. Like,
oh.
Yeah.
Well, I'll go for
yeah.
both.
Balance, right?
Balance.
All right.
Yay.
This is the end of the episode. Everyone say bye.
Goodbye.
Bye.